Good morning. Welcome to Senior Moment. I'm Kathleen Morgane, substituting for host Joanne Rideout. With me in the studio this morning are
Michelle Lewis with Northwest Senior and Disability Services.
And
Doug Schaefer, Olympic Area Agency on Aging.
The theme of today is baby boomers. And I guess Doug can start off with why we're not really using that term so much anymore.
Well, we're going to be talking about boomers and how that's impacting family caregiver services and so on. As part of the boomers, we sort of look at some of these labels that are out there, and I have had several people of a similar age tell me, you know, I don't care what you do or say, just don't call me a senior. And I think because marketing and everything has just really hit this baby boomer terminology that we just hear it so much. You know, don't call me a boomer. Yes, I was born between 1946 and 1964, but you know, I am who I am, and I don't feel like I'm 60, even if I am 60, and all of that kind of stuff is going on. But it is a huge population, with about 10,000 boomers a day turning 65. The next 20 years, about 80 million will be hitting Social Security. So it's something that everyone's kind of looking at, not only in social services, but you can imagine all the advertising agencies and product people are really looking at marketing to boomers.
I've certainly of an age that I received the AARP magazine, and the amount of advertising in that publication is tremendous.
Yes.
Michelle, can we talk about some of the what we used to call senior services on the Oregon side of the river?
Some of the resources available?
Yeah.
One of the best things to do is call our office. We've got a myriad of services, everything from in-home care to family caregiver support programs, help for long-term care. There's the food stamp programs for our senior and disabled services. All run through our agency. It's kind of the first stop for all things senior and disabled. And if our office can't help with the issue that's at hand, then we'll have resources that we can refer to.
Are you finding with this particular population that people are more or less apt to ask for assistance than in years past?
I think we're seeing a trend toward more likely than they used to. Our elder population in their late 70s and 80s were much less likely to ask for help. Sometimes we'd have to go out and seek them and convince them to come in and get help. Certainly, they didn't want any kind of government services that was against their upbringing. They were very proud. Our folks are also, the younger folks are also very proud, but they also understand more, they're a little more savvy about the programs that are out there and a lot more likely to ask for help when they need it.
And earlier you were mentioning in this age group, grandparents and the additional responsibilities of caring for younger family members, perhaps grandchildren, perhaps younger relatives. And how is that changing the family dynamic?
Well, actually, we're seeing, you know, we've heard the term sandwich generation before. We're seeing our younger senior population sometimes taking care of their parents and taking care of maybe their kids that are in college at the same time. Their expenses are going out in several directions, and their time and energy is going out in several directions. We also see as they become grandparents, sometimes they'll end up with their grandchildren living with them because of things that maybe happened that were maybe drug abuse among the kids or the adult kids. So we're seeing a lot more need, I guess, to support the families across the board as our boomers are aging.
Well, one thing that's helped on the Oregon side, I believe, is the availability of health insurance for children. And does your office help liaise with people to get them access to that?
We'll definitely give them the referral. If they call our office, we'll give them the right referral to get that service.
Okay. And Doug, how about on the Washington side?
Well, we're seeing about the same dynamic. We also sponsor SHEBA, which is the Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors. So we do get calls also for children's health, basic health, those type of issues, not only Medicare, and some of the supplemental coverages and all of that stuff, but also prescription assistance and things for non-seniors. So that's available through our agency also. One of the things we're finding too, one survey said about up to 25% of the boomer generation may not have kids. There was a trend towards, you know, doing careers and going on vacations, doing whatever it is, instead of having kids, which puts a whole nother dynamic on it, because so many of our families, the children are taking care of the parents. And as the boomers age, they don't have that family support group, you know, to do that. And so they're running into looking at, well, what happens if? And so they begin to explore those things. And as Michelle said, a lot of times they're more apt to ask for help, or at least to explore, to see what is out there. They're, I think, a lot more information-gathering type people than possibly previous generations. They want to know what's out there. They want to be involved in the choices and so on. And if they're looking down the road, because being a boomer myself, I know I didn't, you know, you're immortal until you realize, gee, I'm getting older. And I realized that there are things that could happen down the road that I haven't planned for, haven't thought about even. And so they begin to look at what does happen as I get, if I get older, what happens to my kids if I have kids, what happens to me if I don't have kids, and then there's still what about my parents. And so the whole family caregiver support program that both our agencies offer really comes in at that point to say, how can we support whoever the caregiver is in this family situation so that they can stay healthy, they can remain healthy, and continue to help provide care for parents, relatives, whatever it may be.
Okay, and I guess this is to both of you. What kind of support services are available for those who, for whom this is a whole new area of concern to consider?
Right. So we have the Family Caregiver Support Program on the Oregon side. It can help with some respite, get some time off. It can help with finding resources for caregivers. We do some training. We have seminars available for caregivers. And we have a portion of it that's just aimed at relative children. And so sometimes we call it the grandparents raising grandchildren, but it's not limited just to grandparents, to any relative. We will be having a grandparent seminar on September 15th. It should be a lot of fun. You get a lot of resources. There'll be an attorneys there. There'll be somebody talking about parenting skills, nutrition and cooking. We'll cook our lunch together and learn some good nutrition and cooking skills. We'll have somebody talking about various aspects of dealing with grandchildren. Social Security Administration will be there too to talk about how families access Social Security, what benefits might be available for them. So it sounds like it'd be a lively program. Those kind of services are what come through the Family Caregiver Support Program on the Oregon side of the river.
Is it an all-day thing?
It's going to be from 9 until 2. That way the grandparents get back, get their kids from school. And it is free of charge. It's going to be at the new regional food bank.
And the location?
In Warrington. So it's up by the animal shelter. And certainly just call our office for the details, because you'll need to register for it.
We have the Family Caregiver Support Program also. It's a federal program that goes into the states. But it's a little different in that we have the Relatives as Parents program also, where some relative is raising grandkids or nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever. But we also have a T-Care assessment, it's called. It's just, they don't need to know that. It's just tailored care. It's an assessment tool that's designed for the caregiver in a family caregiver situation. And what it does is it measures the amount of stress, the amount of burdens, the amount of health issues that are going on with the caregiver. And in light of that, then there's a bank of services that's available to them. We've up to and including respite, which is, as Michelle said, someone coming into the home to give the caregiver time to get away, go to the store, go to a class, do some hobbies, go out for coffee, something. But there's someone in the home that's a trained caregiver, background check, all of that stuff. So that's the respite part of it. We've also funded caregivers for mental health counseling, for stress reduction, for exercise classes, for support groups, for all kinds of different things, because the goal of the whole family caregiver support program is to support the caregiver. Our area agencies on aging for years have been emphasizing to the state and to the feds that, you know, if we intervene early enough and get support to these people, they won't end up in nursing facilities necessarily or these other higher cost things. Well, as is typical with the government, when it became their idea that, hey, you know what, we could save money if we intervene early here, they really, really came to up to the plate, and they actually increased family caregiver support monies during the time when the other budgets were being cut. So it's a really comprehensive program. We also have the Relatives as Parents program, which, as Michelle said, includes grandparents raising grandchildren or any of the relatives. And that program in our service area is a once-a-year help. It's for a certain amount of money to get things going. We generally get, the program gets hit really hard around now because they're getting ready for school. And so we have people that every August or so will contact us, and we're able to get all their school supplies and their school fees and everything taken care of. It's only an annual per person benefit, but it's very wide. We've provided everything from band instruments to cribs to school clothes to Sylvan Learning Center for one child, and it's very creative, but it's a once-a-year help, too. And that all of those are available through our agency and through our office. We can make the necessary referral and connection.
Is this an income-based program?
It is, but it's really generous. It's I believe the respite is $50,000 in assets. And for respite itself, the income is, in our area, I'm not sure if it's the same here, you take the income of both people in the house and you divide it in half, and that's the income eligibility standard. So kinship care is a lot broader than that. So the best thing to do is give us a call. They'll ask a couple of questions, and away you go.
And when you said assets, does that include your home?
No. Liquid assets. I'm sorry.
On the Oregon side, there isn't an income test at this point or standard. It's more based on need. So we'll go in and look. We have ADL requirements, activities of daily living. If the care receiver needs help with a number of the activities of daily living, then that's something that would open them up to the respite and the supplemental services that are actually cash benefits. Otherwise, all the other services are not income-based, and they're available to any primary caregiver who's over age 60, caring for somebody over age 60. I'm sorry, I got that right. So any caregiver who's caring for somebody over the age of 60, grandparents need to be over age 55.
If you recognize that you yourself are your own primary caregiver, and you need assistance yourself, so over 60, I can call you up and say, you know, what help can I get in-home type assistance, painting my house, general, that kind of thing?
Well, for our agency in general, certainly. You can call and ask our information assistance person. They've been collecting all sorts of different resources. We've helped people move their firewood from the garage to the house. We didn't do it in our agency, but we helped find the resources to do that with. So that's becoming a stronger and stronger skill set that we have.
So you must have an amazing group of providers of all different kinds on your Rolodex.
in the Rolodex, certainly. We're using the entire community and trying to find out what's available in our community to reach out and help seniors. Sometimes that means talking to one of our fraternal organizations or our clubs to see if they could help. We've used Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I mean, we use whoever we can get the help from in that situation.
And Doug?
Yeah, it's the same. Part of the federal mandate when the area agencies on aging were established was to coordinate community resources, not to necessarily do everything, but to be that front door so that people can come in and you can make that connection between the need and the resource. We don't have all the resources, but we have our hands spread pretty wide so that we know what the resources are in our agency and we can make those connections for people. So whether it's, you know, a family caregiver situation or whether it's like you had mentioned, you know, I'm older, I just came out of the hospital, I'm having trouble at home, what can I do for help? Certainly there are programs for that too. So we just encourage for all things senior to give us a call and see what we can do for you.
We actually have somebody, we have people trained in something called options counseling, where they, you know, people who have actually had specialized training in that can go into people's homes and talk to them about everything that's available to them. So if a phone call alone isn't enough to get the resources that they need, it can be brought up another level so they actually get somebody who comes and visits them, looks over the situation, and offer resources that make it well go beyond what our agency offers, but informs them about what's available all around them.
That sounds almost like if you were concerned about a neighbor, perhaps you could make that call. Is that something that people
do? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, earlier you were talking about an interesting a nutrition class that's available not only to grandparents, but to people of all ages.
Well, that's run through the Clatsop Community Actions Regional Food Bank. And so that's really something that they do. We just talked to them and coordinated a six-week class that is really targeted at seniors. That class just got started this last week, and it's very interesting. I think the folks that are having it, all I've heard is great fun, that they've been able to participate in creating meals, learn nutrition. They eat the meals that they cook there, and then they're sent home with food that to recreate that meal at home. So that's been a lot of fun for them. We're working on more and more of those kind of programs throughout the county for our seniors.
And that's at the Regional Food Bank?
Yes,
the location.
It is. Uh-huh. Yeah. But that one's already started. So in the future, you may hear more about those kind of programs.
Okay.
We have a couple other programs, though, right now I'd like to mention, if I could.
Yo, please.
Okay, we've got a Get a Grasp on Medicare. We also do the SHEBA program, as Doug talked about, where we help people with Medicare questions, and we're going to be looking at open enrollment in October of this year. So we are moving toward getting people educated on what to do during that open enrollment. Plus, we've got the 65-year-olds. Our baby boomers are turning 65 this year, so we've got a lot more interest in learning all about Medicare. There'll be a class on August 11th at the Columbia Memorial Community Center, which is the old Duncan Law Seafood Center, from 4 to 5:30, that will cover all things Medicare. And then there'll be another one of those classes on October 18th, same place, same time. And again, you can call our office for the details on that. And then there's one other opportunity to learn more about, for our caregiver support groups meets the third Tuesday of each month. In September, it'll be open to the public, to public caregivers, and we're inviting in our occupational therapists from Pacific Northwest Occupational Therapy. They'll be coming in and talking about how people can work towards strengthening or regaining their skills after they've had an illness or an accident, so they can remain home safe longer. And so that's going to be open to the public. That's also going to be at the Regional Food Bank. They have a wonderful conference room that we take advantage of there all we can. And plus, they're right next door to our office, so it works out nicely. But that one is from 1:30 until 3 o'clock on September 20th.
Now, in the wake of the federal general budget reductions, have either of you heard on any specific impacts that's going to have on your agencies?
Well, I'll go first because I haven't. We do know that some of the funding sources, some of the older American Act monies and so forth, are on the block, even with this raising the debt ceiling and all of that. It looks like that's trickling down towards elder monies, Social Security, Medicare, Older American Act. That's going to be impacted somehow. And the last I heard, at least in Washington State, was that It could have an impact. It may be just once it's spread out small enough, we can just sort of adjust things, or we may have to look at changing some of our programs. Now, the family caregiver program right now is solid in the state of Washington. But some of the other things, home-delivered meals for homebound seniors, those type of things, those are older American Act programs. And those are things that, you know, it could take a hit.
So you mean the Meals on Wheels program?
Yes.
As far as the family caregiver support program here, we've had to reduce some of our benefits. We don't have, just like Doug was talking, we don't have solid numbers yet. So take kind of the conservative approach until we have those solid numbers. But what we've had in the past is some cushion that was brought over from carryover funds from the previous years, every year that we went into it. This year, we have no carryover funds. And so we had a fairly gracious, abundant kind of program next to what other counties carried. And so we've had to go out and find out what is happening in the other counties and tailor ours closer to what was going on in those counties, which was been a significant reduction for us. We're also looking at what if we have to go on to waiting lists. But right now the program is open for new enrollees, and so we encourage people to enroll. But just like every other government program, we kind of sit on pins and needles and wait for the next shoe to drop until we hear. But meantime, doing the best we can to offer as much as we can.
Can I add something? I just wanted to emphasize something because it's a huge change for Medicare Part D. Medicare Part D is the prescription part of Medicare that you have to renew every year. And as Michelle said, it starts this year, October 15th. Now, it used to run from November 15th through the end of the year. Now it only runs from October 15th through December 7th. So what we would run into a lot of times is people, well, we'll get the holidays out of the way and then we'll go in. And so the last week or two was a big push in our offices to get on their Part D program. That's not going to be an option this time. You can't wait till the end of the year or there'll be a penalty. So I just want to really make sure that people are aware that it's October 15th to December 7th for Medicare Part D. That's D as in Doug, as a matter of fact. the prescription program, because that's a brand new change, that open enrollment period.
Could you do the the elevator presentation of Part D?
It's the Part D is prescription assistance that's managed through various insurance companies. It's you go into Medicare, reimburses them at a certain rate, and it's your prescription plan. And even no matter what the plan is, everybody over the year generally saves money. It's the one that you've heard about, the donut hole, where there's a period where if you've paid so much and the company's paid so much, then you have this period where you pay, depending upon the cost and how much you're spending, you have to pay 100% for X amount of time, and the donut hole is supposed to be closing in 2014, I think it is, as part of the healthcare reform. There are prescription programs that can help you through that time, help you pay for your prescriptions. There are supplemental plans that can come on as part of your Medicare package. So there's a lot of different things, but the Part D is the prescription coverage, and you do have to renew that every year. And it's not like your house insurance that, well, you know, I've been with Farmers for 30 years and they're really good, because each year their formularies change. You know, they may not provide the medications you need that they did the year before, so their formularies change, their premium costs change. So you need to go in and redo. Well, you have to redo it every year anyway, but you need to explore it every year, because sometimes premiums can jump up 50%, 70%, and if you just say, well, I'm just staying with who I am, well, then you're going to pay for that. So, and our offices can help you with that. We can, through our SHEBA programs and our INA specialist, we can run that for you. If you don't have a computer, we can go online. We can find out just with some basic information, you know, what your general income is, what medications you have, what pharmacies you want to use. We can run those through the website at Social Security or at Medicare.gov and come up with the top three or the least expensive top three. We cannot and will not say, here's the best one for you. But we can say, here's the top three that came up. Then you make that choice and make the contact. So it's very important to get in and do that, because there will be a penalty, a monthly penalty for every month that you delay in doing that when you should do it. One other thing to remind people about the Part D is that if you're currently covered under an insurance plan, but you're Medicare eligible or whatever, your insurance plan should send you a letter that says that their coverage is equitable or better than Medicare, and then you do not have to sign up for Medicare. They also have to send you a letter that said, yeah, we really suck compared to Medicare. So then you do have to sign up for Medicare. So,
yeah, people who are 65 and working, they need to talk to their employers and find out about their programs and whether they need to carry their Part B for Medicare. So this gets into a whole nother discussion, which we have a whole show just on that. But more of our baby boomers are working, and they're choosing to work past age 65. And so no matter if you're working or you're not working, Medicare starts at age 65, and people need to remember that. That's when they need to investigate. And again, that's what these Get a Grasp on Medicare classes are about. That's what SHEBA program's about in our office. So give us a call. We have volunteers trained to help, and I'm there to help. So please take advantage of that. During this open enrollment period, too, that we're talking about in the fall, it starts in October. Also, if you have an Advantage program, and those of you who have them probably know you have them, those change also. Yeah. They can change their premiums and their benefit coverage. And so don't throw away information from your company. You're going to get a lot of information during this time period. Don't throw away anything from your company. Take a look at it. Make sure that it's going to work for you.
Okay, well, thank you both for being with us today, and we're running out of time. Michelle, would you like to do a brief recap of some of the events that are coming up?
Sure. So we've got three main ones I want you to know about right now. Is August 11th is a Get a Grasp on Medicare. It's from 4 to 5:30 at the Columbia Memorial Community Center. Then on September 15th, we've got the Grandparents Seminar. Grandparents raising grandchildren. That includes any relative raising relative children. And that's going to run from 9 until 2. And then we've got September 20th, we've got our caregiver presentation that will be talking about occupational therapy. So just give our office a call. Our office phone number is, our information assistance phone number is 1-800-584-9712, and they'll be able to help you out on any of those programs and much more.
Thanks, Michelle and Doug.
Our contact number, we have two offices, one in North Pacific County, and that number is 360-942-2177 or 888-571-6557 toll free. In Long Beach, it's 642-3634. Or 888-571-6558. You can also see our agency website at www.o3a.org.
Okay, well, thank you, too, for being with us today. And remember that open enrollment window of October 15th to December 7th. And it sounds like our next Senior Moment program will be just about at that time. Thank you both.
Thank you.